The executive producer for this episode of Walnut Grovecast is Susan King. Hello and welcome to the newest episode of Walnut Grovecast. For the next couple months, Walnut Grovecast is returning to a weekly schedule. Along with Walnut Grovecast, I am working hard to finish up episodes of Bonnet Heads and the Little House Book Club. Included in those side projects are more of your favorites, such as Wagon Talks, character discussions, interviews with cast members, and so much more. By now, you must have read Kelly Mielke's hilarious addition to the website, The Prairie Review. If not, please visit walnutgrovecast.com, and it's right there. It's right on top. As always, these shows and articles are not only free of charge, they are commercial free. I would like to thank the following supporters for making that possible. Michelle Ferguson, Aaron McManus, Chelsea Wofford, Marissa Baker, Thori Rodriguez, Angie Zadava, Cheyenne Hampton, Chris Hassler from the VHS Rewind podcast, Laura Solarin, Spunky Cheek, Dana Wilkins, Chantel Dubois Nishiyama, Suzanne Holland, Leah Mitchell from the Retro TV podcast, Michelle Tarrier, Brian C. Mellenbacher, Margaret LaVisca, Jennifer Jones, Julia Schroeder, Tanya Weber, Leah Chiapino, JJ Hurley, Elizabeth Villamagna, Robin Lee, Matilda Smith Thompson, Shannon Quinton, Lydia Kikuchi from Late Nights with Hitchcock podcast, Elvira Dabas, Candy Gleason, Megan Eichner, Kelly Mielke from the Dr. Quincast podcast, Alicia Olin, Rachel Boren, Stephanie Carnes, Julia Monin, Peyton England, Matthew Mercier, Stacey Keller, Bobby Young, Gerald Lang from the OSI Files podcast, Teresa Trapp, Jeannie Schneider-Mitchell, Max Duration, Katie Bollinger, Whitney Cole, Laura Furman, Val Williams, Anne Quinn, Jeannie Comer, Aaron Wortman, Don Roberts, Rebecca Harris, Sherry Benner, Angela Bowen from the Looking Back on My Wonder Years, A Wonder Years podcast, Susan King, Jeff Griffin, Megan Parker, Brian Sellers, Stephanie Bailey, Andre Yarkison, Rhonda Ludwig, Stacey Corrigan, Whitney Griggs, Julia Jin, Jill Stellman, and finally Chris Cooling from the Forgotten TV podcast. Thank you all for your support. You make this podcast possible, and in my eyes, this is truly your podcast. So if you have any ideas, suggestions, please feel free to reach out. If you would like to support Walnut Grovecast, please visit patreon.com/walnutgrovecast. Without further delay, please enjoy the newest episode of Walnut Grovecast. And you're listening to Walnut Grovecast. Today I have returning to the show Kelly Mielke. How are you doing, Kelly?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Yay.
You're back on Little House.
I'm back on Little House. It's so fun. Well, we've been very busy with our Dr. Quinn cast lately, but I still am very involved in the Little House world. Yeah. I'm still watching it all the time, and it's very fun. After doing a bunch of recordings for Dr. Quinn to come back,
the award-winning Dr. Quinn cast.
Yeah,
we have our own award.
The awards
show.
Are mostly in our heads at this point, but yeah.
And yeah, I mean, it's a lot of fun, and we seem to get a lot of good feedback.
You sure did.
And that's an inside joke that a lot of people might not really understand. But
you sure did.
But
thank you so much for that.
No problem. And if you want to get in on the inside joke on that, you really should go to drquincast.com and check it out. But today.
That episode will be out in like Halloween, so I don't know if this will be out before or after that. So
also today, I got a new mouse for my Mac, and it's an Apple mouse that has more controls than a phone.
Wait a minute, so you say you got a new mouse?
A mouse, a new computer mouse.
Sure did.
You sure did.
And So now I can trigger that whenever we want, you know?
You sure did.
So basically it's a piece of metal with a piece of glass on top, and it has like a billion functions. So I don't know how it works or anything. I just touch it and it's has a mind of its own. So if there's any kind of weird audio inconsistencies in this episode, that's the fault of it.
It's the mouse.
It's the mouse. I know.
Sure did. All
right, one last time.
She sure did.
And this is pretty much what you get with Dr. Quinncast.
People are like, what is happening right now?
Yeah, well, everyone
Lizards,
I speak...
Little House!
I've been reviewing a lot of episodes of Little House in the past week, and every single person I'm hitting up, like, you gotta check it out. You gotta just check it out. It's like Little House in the Prairie, but a lot more, you know, crazier.
Well, isn't that pretty much how I got you started on it, though? Like, I'm like, Mark, you gotta watch it. You gotta watch it.
Yeah, I'm like, what does she want me to watch here? It's like some Jane Seymour. Who's this? Teeth are really white.
Yeah, and then he finally relented, and now you see how great it is.
Yeah, you know, the first episode I wasn't so keen about when she yanked her tooth out. But at the same time, once the morphine kind of started flowing, you kind of...
Once the morphine kicks in, it's all good.
And there's such wonderful characters, but I think
like,
all in
like
all...
Like Matt, for example.
Yeah, Matt's a great character, and, you know...
sure did.
So... All right, enough Dr. Quinncast for the moment. I'm sure it'll creep back in somehow.
Well, we have a crossover in this episode we're discussing tonight, so of course it's going to come back up.
Well, you know, there's more than one type of weird crossover. There's Matt Clark, who plays, I forget what his character's name, and he's the dad that we were kind of back and forth with, the one that we really liked, the one who tried to choke.
The really, like, intense guy that totally tried to beat them up, and they totally deserved it.
I discovered a movie that he did, right, where four people from Little House on the Prairie were in. It's a totally unrelated movie, so I'll bring
it's
that
like
up.
It's like
bit.
A reunion.
It is, and it's from 1985.
Oh, it's crazy. Like, I know I mentioned this, I think maybe in the morphine episode when we recorded that. The morphine episode. But there's that episode in the first season of Highway to Heaven that has Albert in it, and it also has that guy that, like, played the old mayor guy in the Welcome to Olsenville one. And then, of course, Michael Landon. So I'm like, whoa, it's like a Little House reunion.
But that's a real Michael Landon production. Like, I guess...
Yeah. It's I mean, once you've worked for Michael Landon, like, you're in the pool for life.
But this is a James Spader movie.
Yeah. So that's random. Right. Yeah, because, like, Michael Landon, we know that he likes to kind of, like, reuse the same people.
Yeah.
Once he's, like, used you once, you're, like, good to go.
It's like
you've gotten the golden ticket.
It's like a mafia type thing.
Yeah.
But do you want to talk about the episode we're talking about today?
Yeah, we're talking about Mortal Mission.
Mortal Mission.
Yes, which is season 5, episode 23, and it aired on March 12th, 1979.
One thing that's really kind of strange about this episode is we have pandemic. Is there a pandemic episode? And quarantine. No, I mean, it was quarantine. What is the other one called?
Okay, so there's quarantine, and what is the other one? Now I can't
it's not pandemic.
Because there's like the one where they have typhus, that's quarantine, right? And then...
And the other one. This one, on the other, I think that this one represents so much more, like, it's so much more intense than both of those episodes in a lot of ways.
I agree. It's well, first of all, we have that like wicked bass line.
The whole soundtrack, you pointed it out. Yeah. The whole soundtrack for this particular episode is really good. And it's dark.
Yeah, it is. Like anytime this episode like comes on, like if I'm watching it or it comes on TV, and then like I'll just like hear my husband walking through the house like doo-doo. Just, like, that like, soundtrack is just like amazing.
Pete should get a bass with like a wireless like amp thing and just kind of like go around playing it. Doom, doom.
Doo-doo.
It's a little like Jaws, a little bit.
Yeah. But I mean, this episode is, I think they deal with it a little bit more dramatically, a little bit more like, you know, darkly than they do with the other big disease episodes. I mean, we have, I mean, diseases like happen a lot on the show. And I mean, like, it's kind of a given for the time period. But this is like, I think it has like this really unique feel to it. I think it's a combination of a number of things. I mean, we have like the suspenseful mission that like Charles and Jonathan are on. It's like winter, so it's like freezing cold. We have like the sinister thing about the guys like knowing that the sheep have anthrax and selling the meat anyway and like taking advantage of the blind children, which is crazy. You know, and it's just like, seems really, even just like the lighting of the episode and everything, it just is sort of like has kind of like a faded, like,
yeah, it's a very dark episode. Maybe not, I would say it's a dark episode, but you can see everything. It's but it's really just a grim episode. It really shows like how how jerky people can be.
Yeah, and this episode, I like really don't remember from just seeing it like on TV or like, you know, in rotation really. Even though it's on rotation all the time, I like definitely notice it now because I really have come to appreciate it and I like the episode. But I think the first time I really remember seeing it was like, I think I've told you the story about after we got married and like when we had moved and we didn't have like anything going on yet, so we just like watched a lot of Little House. We like rented all the DVDs from the library and we watched it for like 16 hours a day.
That's awesome.
And we're like cycling through the seasons, and I think that's the first time I like really remember this episode. And I was like, whoa, it's crazy, like they have anthrax. You know, like I was just like, what an interesting episode, and like the way that they deal with it. I think that like when you're seeing it for the first time, like, it really is, like, pretty, like, suspenseful and, you know, like, really interesting. And
yeah, I love like this episode.
Yeah, that's the first time I remember really being like, wow, that's, like, a really, like, good episode. I can't believe I don't remember that from before.
Yeah, I don't remember this in rotation when I was a kid or anything.
Yeah, and, like, I don't either. But like I said, like, I mean, now, like, on, well, it was just on Hallmark today, coincidentally.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. But I just had finished, like, making the clips for it, and then I'm like, no way. I like just finished it, that it's like on TV. I'm like, what?
It's a sign.
Yeah.
So here we go. I'm gonna play the first clip of these two brothers. They are brothers, right?
Yes, they are.
And they're just they're having some question. I mean, they're having a conversation. And that's the bass lines. I mean, if you've ever seen the movie They Live or even early sci-fi stuff like The Terminator, it's kind of what it sounds like.
They ain't gonna last the day. The rest of the flock go too.
What you think it is, Garth?
Don't know for sure, Virgil. Could be the anthrax.
And you hear like the cowbells, like. And it's supposed to be winter, and I'm not buying it.
Well, I did notice they have quite the snow budget on this show.
Well, that's another thing with Dr. Quinn.
Snow everywhere.
Is we heard that from through the grapevine, we heard that they didn't have the budget for snow, but somehow we just don't buy that.
It's pretty unbelievable if you ask me.
But this looks like they sprinkled like flour or something.
Yeah. Yeah, but this episode, I'm like, look at all that snow. They have quite the budget for snow.
Yes.
If we lose the whole flock, we're not going to make it through the winter.
What are we going to do?
Only thing we can do. Butcher them that dies and sell the meat to whoever will buy it.
Oh, no one's going to buy mutton with the anthrax.
We're not sure it's anthrax, and we ain't telling nobody nothing.
We can't do that, Garth.
Says who?
Well, if it is anthrax, well, people will get it too. They'll die.
Maybe. Maybe not. But I'll tell you one thing, Virgil. We'll die. Starving if we don't peddle them sheep. Now we'll set a real bargain price and people will just snap that mutton up.
I ain't gonna do it, Garth.
You are, Virgil. Now you listen to me. I've always taken good care of you, haven't I? Haven't I been a good brother to you?
So So they sell the mutton. Have you ever eaten mutton?
I don't think so.
Yeah, me either.
How is it different than just eating, like,
I think it's mature. It's they're older.
Oh, okay.
So I think the meat's a little tougher.
Yeah, these guys are, like, weird. I mean, obviously it's pretty deplorable what they're about to do, although the one brother's against it. And unfortunately, like, spoiler alert, he appears to be the one that dies, which is sad. Like, the one that didn't want to do it, you know. But although I suppose because they were handling the sheep, so maybe they would have, you know, gotten it anyway, even if they hadn't sold it.
No, I don't know much about anthrax and how you get it. Is it something
all I know is that you might get it in the mail.
We would, It does get sent in the mail about 20 years ago.
Yeah. See, I'm a little bit confused because I don't really know much about it either, other than that memory of it from, like, 20 years ago. But I feel like this episode is, like, a little bit confusing and how they, like, are talking about it because, so, like, the sheep all have it. Like, I'm not sure what happened to make the sheep get it. Later on in the episode, that guy is talking about how they ate a horse that, like, dropped dead from anthrax. Well, he didn't know it was anthrax.
See, I always thought anthrax was a horse disease.
And, then, like, they can get it, so, like, they can't, but, like, where does it come from? Like, how do they get it? I'm, like, a little confused about that. And then Doc Baker says that, like, if you just handle the sheep, like, you can come down with it, but he also says it's, like, not really contagious between people, so I'm, like, why do you get it from, like, handling the animals, but, like, you don't get it from handling the people? Like,
yeah,
you
that
know,
doesn't
like,
make so much sense.
Like, I'm not following that.
Yeah, and I'll tell, like, a quick story about anthrax back in, you know, the post-9/11 world. Like, right after 9/11, Chris Hassler, which a lot of people might remember from doing a bunch of episodes, him and I worked together in this publishing company in Manhattan, and everybody was getting anthrax, apparently. I don't know, it was crazy. And he was in the legal department, and he got this envelope of, it had, like, a submission, but it also had a ton of white powder.
Oh, man.
And he called me in. I'm like, why are you calling me in here? I'm like, you're going to kill me. I just remember, like, being, like, so mean about it. And I'm like, I don't know, call the police, I guess. I'm like, we're probably going to die or something. And it was just one of these type of things. And the police came, looked at it, and just said, it's not anthrax. And they just left.
But, like, what was it?
I don't know. Like, I have no idea, but apparently it wasn't anthrax.
Did they do, like, the taste test like Doc Baker does with the morphine?
He literally poured it out on his desk. And he, like, touched it with his glove. And he just said, it's not anthrax.
Because he, like, when Doc Baker is just, like, tasting, he's like, morphine.
Best part of my day. This is sugar. I don't need sugar.
I do have a sweet tooth, but it's not what I had a hankering for. Like, right now. This won't get me high.
Exactly. That's what. So, all right, this next clip is going to be in the Garveys' house, where Ma is sitting in a very nice leather chair.
I was actually thinking their house in general. I'm like, they really have got it going on. I mean, they have, like, that really nice chair. They have, like, this beautiful cabinet with china.
Which I'm looking for. I'm looking for two of those.
Their walls are, like, finished, at least to some extent. They have some things hanging on the walls.
Yeah.
They have doors. Like, they have, like, rooms with doors.
It's bright, you know?
Yeah, like, man, they, like, really have got it going on at the Garveys' house.
Yeah.
All right, Virgil, come on, let's get to Butcher.
I never will get over how the children can bear the bitter cold. They keep their blood circulating so fast they don't even feel the cold.
Oh, I just hope it doesn't snow before Jonathan and Charles get back.
Grace has got to be, like, what, 16 months old or something?
It would have been really funny if she's like, I just hope it doesn't snow before Jonathan and Charles get back. And Alice is like, who?
Exactly.
Oh,
Afternoon, Miss Garvey.
Come in, Mr. Fenton. Come in out of that cold.
Thank you. Miss Ingalls?
Can't be that cold. He's sweating.
Well, they do a better job than on Dr. Quinn with the winter thing, where they actually are wearing, like, winter clothes. And we have that little thing, like, later on, we see Jonathan and Charles, where they do that thing where they, like, wrap their scarf, like, around their hat and, like, fold the brim down, which I always think is, like, kind of adorable.
Yeah, it's,
like,
well, it's like, a cool like look. A, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like, oh, look at you. So they actually are, like, acting like it's cold, but at the same time, like, when they're talking about how cold it is, I'm like, I'm not totally buying it. Because you're just going, I mean,
it's Minnesota. Minnesota gets really cold.
Well, right, and they keep talking about how cold it is, but none of them are, like, acting that cold when they're outside.
Half of them have tans.
Yeah. And then, like, in real life, it's, like, probably, like, their, like, faces would be all, like, red, you know, and, like... weather beaten and stuff.
But then again, we do have the fire going. So, I mean, you're in there and you're nice and comfy.
You know, I do like Ma's little, like, vest that she wears when it's cold.
Is that what she's wearing now?
Like, yeah, she's wearing it now and she wears it later on, too. She, like, pretty much for the whole episode has this little, like, winter vest on. Hmm. Which I think would not be enough to keep me warm.
Well, you said that you're pretty sensitive to the cold, right?
Yeah, like, I have a space heater in my office I use, like, year-round. And, I mean, South Carolina's warm.
Yeah, you guys are, like, southern.
Yeah, I'm, like, pretty pathetic that way. But I just don't think the vest would be cutting it for me.
You're an old lady at heart.
Yeah.
Virgil and me, we just butchered some sheep. And we've been selling the mutton around. Well, we got two nice big roasts left. Thought you might be interested.
How much are you asking?
50 cents each.
At that price, I can't afford not to buy one.
I'll take the other one.
Well, then I'll fetch it.
That's right, they saved up Andrew's 15 cents from the inheritance episode. They're going to spend
So they buy it, you know, and they're kind of even joking around about it a bit. It's like...
Yeah. Why don't they'll share the Garvey roast nut?
Oh, we'd love to. And when the men get back... Garvey's gonna have some of the Ingalls roast, huh?
No thanks.
So by my math, that's two more people eating off of their roast.
Who makes a better roast?
Caroline
or Alice?
Say probably Carolyn, because we're always led to believe that she's a really good cook.
Yeah.
And when she works at the restaurant, everybody thinks she's like a really good cook.
I bet you Alice would say, she's not that great of a cook.
I think that Alice probably makes some mean fish fries, though.
Fish fries?
Yeah, there's, like, that episode when they go fishing and have all this fish, and they're like, everybody's coming over. When they come back from Winoka.
I think fried fish is, like, really good, but it's so heavy.
Yeah, I don't really like fried. I actually prefer not fried foods, just because of the heaviness factor. And also, I feel like sometimes there are, like, light batters that taste kind of good. But when it's just, like this heavy batter, like, I feel like the only thing I taste is the batter. And it's like, I would rather just taste the fish. You know, like, I'd rather just taste, like, the actual thing.
What's wrong with you? No, I'm kidding. It's not very American. It's not very Southern of you.
It's not, because fried food is, like, a big thing. Fried chicken. Sully's favorite fried chicken.
I think everybody likes fried chicken.
I do like fried chicken, though. I'm just saying, like, I don't like great quantities of
I understand
stuff.
What you're saying. Yeah. It's kind of like, you're not going to
go...
And
if it's something like, you know, like, seafood or, like, shrimp or stuff like that, like, I just like how the stuff tastes. Like, I don't really want, like, to taste the...
Right.
Batter.
Well, we're definitely in my house more of a baked food versus fried food.
That's generally what we do.
I hate frying. I hate the process of frying, and I hate the way it makes your house smell. Although I would love to one day fry a turkey for Thanksgiving.
Oh, well, so that's really big down here, and we haven't actually done it yet, because I usually just, you know, like, bake it.
Yeah. Roast it.
Roast it, yeah. I was like, bake doesn't seem like the right word, but you know what I mean, like, in the oven, like,
yeah, like your standard regular way.
Yeah.
One year I smoked the turkey, and that took about 8 hours, and that came out really, really good, but it was a lot of work.
Yeah, but like deep frying the turkeys is like a really big thing around here, but we haven't actually done it yet.
Fire department's got constantly
Well, and it's
going
like
off.
a thing like around like the holiday season. Go to like Walmart or something, and then like the big sale is like the big fryer thing for the turkey.
We have one, because I was going to do it, and then I just kind of chickened out.
Chickened out
Yeah, well, I
and made
got.
a chicken instead.
I was a jive turkey. So, bad jokes.
Here we go, ladies.
Is that a fart? No. They're wrapped in like gross cheesecloths.
Yeah,
Ugh.
it's yeah.
Like, do I get to
That's
keep
actually
that?
what makes everybody sick.
Maybe. I mean, there could be easily some type of mold in that stuff.
Icky.
It looks really nasty, and I heard Ma was going to use those materials to like cover up Carrie's
She was
wallet.
actually she uses the cheesecloth to make a new vest for herself.
Very nice.
Or for Carrie.
Oh, that's very nice, Caroline. So I'm going to play some of the music. You pointed out, it's really, really an ominous, creepy horror soundtrack in a lot of ways.
Hurry and get dressed, Carrie, and you won't be cold. Here we go. Children, time to get up. 10 minutes till breakfast. Laura? Albert?
No.
What's the matter?
I don't know, Mom, but I feel awful sick.
Me too.
Grace is standing there like, where's my mush?
Where's my mush?
You're cold as ice.
Can you
Where do you
please
hurt?
sacrifice
All over. My head and my stomach. My legs.
I got the same thing too, Mom. Real bad.
Hey, we've all been sick.
Yeah.
That's my chair. Squeak.
You two stay in bed. I'm going for Dr. Baker. Carrie?
Yes, Mom?
Laura and Albert are sick. Can you manage breakfast for Grace while I get Dr. Baker?
Sure, Mom.
All right.
What they got?
I don't know. Here, don't get cold. Mush is on the stove.
Now, what's mush? I didn't catch that she was making mush. All I know about mush is that in a Little Rascals episode, there's like a thing where they say, don't eat the mush. The w milk is spoiled or something.
Is it like I don't know. I always thought of it as like kind of like oatmeal, but worse than oatmeal. I mean,
Yeah.
like, and like I like oatmeal, like I think it's fine, but like I
Yeah.
think oatmeal has maybe like more flavor or something. Like I always thought mush was maybe like a lower quality of like that sort of thing. But now I want to look it up. I feel like I've looked it up
Yeah.
before.
There's cornmeal mush, or one you would like, fried cornmeal mush. It's just,
Yeah, corn. Yeah, so I guess it's just like
it's
maybe
like,
it's just
yeah,
kind of like
cornmeal
oatmeal,
slop.
but like with cornmeal.
Old-fashioned mush recipes, corn. Yeah, it's basically, I guess, cornmeal, which is fine. That's probably tasty.
Yeah, it actually probably tastes better than it. So mush is a type of cornmeal pudding or porridge, which is usually boiled in water or milk.
That could be
I bet
tasty.
if you make it like in milk, it probably doesn't taste bad.
It's probably like something that's relatively cheap and like comfort food.
Yeah.
But so Carrie's being a good kid. Like, she gets up. She's like, "Yeah, I'll be the mom."
She gets up and you can understand what she's saying.
Exactly. How nice. She also has a hair bonnet on. I was like, "Whoa."
Yeah, it's a little nightcap.
You don't really notice her hair very much until the later episode. So,
When it's braided.
yeah, when she's
When
trying to
she
pull a
becomes like
Laura.
pseudo lawyer, pseudo lawyer, Laura.
I'm the new Laura.
I'm a new lawyer.
Lawyer.
Carrie's court.
Carrie's Gordon. We don't know. What did she say? What was it? I don't know.
I don't know. Someone has to go to jail. I guess you.
Bandit. So Charles and Jonathan kind of can't wait to go home and get a hot meal. It's the coldest day on record, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
And they're basically, I think they even make like a comment saying, we're going to make tracks, which I'm just like, what are you talking about? Who says this?
Make tracks in the snow. Because they have that big snow budget.
Yeah, it's like barely any snow on the ground. We get to the blind school, right? I mean, I can't keep up with which house I'm looking at, but I'm pretty sure this is the blind school.
Yeah, it is.
Like the only blind school there was, right? I mean, in Walnut Grove.
Till it burned down, yeah.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. It always looks different to me. But here we go. This the wind. And we get an Adam with his chest hair sticking out.
He's learning from Pa.
And basically Doc Baker's looking him over like, you know, I don't know what's wrong with him. Just kind of like looking at him like he doesn't really know what to do.
And then he's like, Mary, have you brushed your hair lately?
And Mary's like, no. Just cut it all off. I don't buy Mary's blindness at all in this episode.
So you mentioned that in the notes, and there are a couple times that I definitely thought that as well. So
she looks right at people.
Yeah, and then like even at like the end of this scene that we're looking at right now, when it's like Adam is sick and Doc Baker's kind of like, I don't really know what's going on. He and Hester Sue go to like set up the hospital or whatever in the blind school. Then like Adam asks for water, and then Mary like walks over to the table and she just like straight up grabs the glass. And I'm like, I don't know. It's like, sure, she knows where the table is, right? But I'm like, she seems too exact when she's grabbing the glass.
Yeah.
Like, I would think she would be like, okay, so here's the table. Kind of feel around, like, there's the glass.
The Mary move in this situation would normally be to be sitting in the corner waiting for instruction from Doc Baker.
Yeah.
Like, in her helpless phase, you know.
Yeah.
I'll just sit here facing the wrong way.
Oh, by the way, it's funny timing for this, too, because this morning, small digression, but I promise it comes around. So, like, overnight, I watch Frasier. So I'm, like, streaming it on Peacock, but the app, like, was, like, not working in the middle of the night. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I can't sleep without my Frasier app. So I'm, like, trying to make it work, and it's, like, not working.
But your dogs
it's, like,
are getting scared.
Yeah, they're like, what's happening?
By the way, I do like, want to just, I just want to mention, Kelly has a dog named Harriet.
Yeah.
Now, her Harriet. Newest, she added a dog to her family, and her name is Harriet. So.
Yeah, inspired by Mrs. Olsen.
It's Dodgy.
I just thought of the name, and I was like, thought of her as a Harriet. I'm like, no, I can't think of you as not a Harriet.
But I'm back to Peacock. And, I'm sorry.
So it's like not working, and Harriet's like, what would Zeldamo do, and all this stuff. And then I'm like, okay, it's like that time of the day where Little House is like on Hallmark Drama, and it goes like Little House into like Dr. Quinn.
Yeah.
So, like, I just, you know, go to Hallmark Drama, and then it's the episode, The Sound of Children. So, when Mary is pregnant and then she has the miscarriage.
Mm-hmm.
So, then I, like, tune in right when she's, like, kind of, like, screaming and crying and, like, how much more do I have to take? And I'm like, just you wait.
Yeah.
There's, like, a whole bunch of stuff coming your way. So, just a few episodes later, like, there's this whole anthrax thing where the blind school is, like, taken over with anthrax and Adam gets it and, you know, one of the students dies and stuff like that. And obviously, then forthcoming, we have the whole, you know, blind school burning down and the baby thing.
Spoiler.
But I'm like, I'm kidding. Man, Mary, it's like, buckle up.
Yeah, like...
just be gone.
Mary has had so much turmoil in her life. It's crazy. It's really crazy if you put it on paper.
Yeah, it is totally crazy.
One day we'll revisit our character discussion and maybe definitely a Mary discussion.
Oh yeah, there's a lot to break down there.
Yeah. All right, so here we are, waiting on Doc's analysis.
What is it, Doctor?
I don't know yet, Mary. Not
Stop
exactly.
asking me.
But I'm going to give him morphine just
pain, debility.
Somebody say morphine?
Initial chills and then fever. Some sort of massive infection, I'd say. Like most of the children here at school. And a lot of others around Walnut Grove. I can't treat everyone who's come down with this unless we concentrate them all in one place.
Well, why not here, Doctor? This is the biggest house in Walnut Grove.
That's very good, Hester Sue. Thank you.
Very good.
I just thought that was a very strange comment. Like, thank you. I didn't realize.
So we're like, that's very good. Like, very good of you to notice that it's the largest house.
She sure did.
And so he's cleaning a syringe, it looks like, with...
Yeah, it's like his blood sample, and it's like this huge syringe. It's crazy.
But it's like he's taking a blood sample. What for?
So he can look at it under the microscope?
Yeah, that's right. It's just...
But then I guess he does this from a lot of people, because later on when he determines that it's anthrax, and he's like, oh, they all have like the same bacteria, whatever it's called. He has like some name for the bacteria, and then I'm like... You're taking blood samples from everybody? I mean, I guess like maybe you'd have to figure out, like, you know, if they all have the same thing, but
how do you clean all that?
Disinfecting that needle.
Yeah, seriously.
Like, seriously, yeah.
Everybody's getting infected because of him.
Yeah.
It's like the baby bottle.
Yeah.
I'm going to get this blood sample of Adam's under a microscope. See if I can get a line.
Oh, crap, I dropped it.
I need another pint.
Dealing with here.
Mary, Thomas Murray is crying for you. He won't settle for anyone but you.
What do you think, Hester Sue? What if we move him and some of the other children in here? I could care for them better.
That's a good idea. I'll go and see about moving some beds in here.
That's very good, Hester Sue.
It's very good. It's so, like, condescending in a way. Adam looks awful. He's all unshaven and, you know, his hair's all messed up. But unlike Mary, his hair looks good, you know, kind of messed up.
Yeah. Well, kind of like the paw thing. I don't think his hair ever really looks bad.
Another thing is, like, you know, they must have said, like, well, keep your mouth gaping. Like, it'll make you look sicker.
Yeah. Be a mouth breather.
You're right. And he just looks all, like, salty and sticky.
Yeah. I think everybody is pretty heavily made up to look like pale and gross. And
but it is determined that it is anthrax.
It's the thrax.
Yeah, it's dun, 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 dun. It's like Anthrax, the band from the 80s. which it's like just
that's what they meant by getting anthrax in the mail. They were sending CDs out.
Yeah, they were sending their CD out. Andy comes in. I'm going to play just a moment of this. They bring Andy in. He just looks like he's going
to
collapse.
On the road. On my way to get you. Looks like he's got the same thing Albert and Laura had.
The thrax.
He says Alice is sick, too.
We've got a lot of sick people here, too, Carolyn. Adam, the children. It's beginning to look like an epidemic.
Do you know what it is?
I'm working on it. We got to bring all the sick here. I can't be everywhere at once.
I'll go get the children and Alice.
I have this, like, dream in my head of where the music came from. And I just picture, like, Michael Landon in, like, a basement studio with, like, some crazy 70s synthesizers.
Boom, boom, boom,
and just,
boom.
Like, an ashtray overflowing with cigarette butts.
Yeah.
Boom, boom. Bottles of scotch.
I could totally see that.
Right.
That's
and
great.
He hasn't been out in, like, you know, he hasn't left the basement in like 8 days.
Hasn't put a shirt on for 8 days.
He's just sweaty. He's cranking the heat so he sweats more. Yeah. And he's like,
boom, 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 boom.
I got it.
He actually wrote the music first and he's like, we need an episode to fit around this.
Hester Sue, we'll need all your spare blankets for pellets. There won't be enough beds to go around. We've got to clear out this furniture. I'm afraid we're going to need to roam.
I bet you regret seeing how big the house is now.
Very good, Hester Sue.
It is strange that some people get anthrax and some people just don't.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I guess it's like, it's just like that, right? Like, it's like some people are exposed to COVID and they don't get it, and some people do.
Yeah.
And some people are vaccinated and they get it, and some people don't. I don't know. I don't know why it's like that. That's just how it works, I guess.
Yeah, it's a very strange thing. I guess it's like that with everything, really. I mean, the flu, yeah. Everything. So Charles comes home and he gets the note that everyone's at the blind school having a party.
An anthrax party.
Bring my cake. Bring a cool pie.
Do. Oh, perfect. I've wrote a song for this.
Dum, 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 dum. Say that again. But yeah, the blind school is a flat out hospital at this point. You pointed out all these crazy bottles that Doc has. You know, there's morphine there somewhere.
Oh, totally. He has morphine. He has quinine. He has
quinine.
Tonics. He has who knows what else.
Cheyenne herbs?
Probably not. I don't think he really embraced.
Some willow bark?
Yeah, some willow bark. Oh, man. So he should have had willow bark tea, because if he had had that, they wouldn't have been strapped waiting for Charles and Jonathan to come back.
So willow bark. Sherry. Willow bark is practically a character in Dr. Quinn, Medicine yeah. Woman. And do you have weeping willows where you live? I don't know, like, what kind of foliage you guys have down there.
I don't know that I can recall seeing one.
Do you know
here.
Them, though? You know those trees, right?
But I know what you're talking about, yeah. I don't know if we have them around here, if they can grow, but I definitely know what you're talking about.
But those are the kind of trees that if you take the bark and make a tea from it, it would actually be a painkiller. And yeah. They're pretty prevalent. I mean, they're all around here.
So. I'm going to get a weeping willow, and I'm going to become a weeping willow addict.
I love weeping willows. Like, I don't know why I like them so
much. I'm a willow bark addict.
I'm a willow bark. Give me some WP. WB.
Just a little bit of the bark.
Kelly, calm down. You're all barked up.
Kelly, how many times have you had the bark today? Well, just before work and just on my lunch break.
She sure did.
just a little. Just what's in that bottle? Just a little tea. What kind of tea? You know, a mixture of honey and Lipton and willow bark.
Kelly, did you bring willow bark to work again?
Oh my god, you're barking.
You're barking up at work.
You can't be barking up at work. So Matt Clark, I'm going to go into my story about Matt Clark. He's the father. I don't know what the name of his son is, but he brings his son in and he's clearly ill. And actually, that's who they just brought in, right?
Plague, too, right? That was the other episode, Quarantine and Plague.
Yeah.
We're thinking of those two because he was in that. Yeah. And then there's this one. And then there's also that flu one.
Well, he wasn't in quarantine. He was in Plague and Child of Pain.
What?
He wasn't in quarantine.
No, but I was saying earlier, because we were like, what were the two episodes?
Oh, okay.
Because there was quarantine, and what was the other one called? And I couldn't think of it, but it was just called Plague.
Plague.
So we have Plague and Quarantine, then we have Mortal Mission, and then we also have Faraway Cry, where Caroline goes to the camp and there's an influenza epidemic.
Yeah.
We get lots of diseases here.
Yeah, a lot more than I kind of remember as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
But he's sick.
Yeah, an hour ago.
I just skipped over
Mr.
that.
Berwick. Put him right down here. Your wife?
Martha's dead an hour ago.
I'm sorry.
Can you imagine? I mean, you know, your spouse just passed away and your kid is now sick with...
Well, right. And it's like, I'm sure her body is like in their house, yeah. You know, and he has to like rush the kid off to the doctor. Well, I mean, like the doctor, like the... where the doctor is or whatever. And then, you know, he's dealing with this and just hoping his kid makes it. And then he's still going to have to go back home and deal with,
yeah.
You know, the body and everything. And yeah, I think that's just crazy. Just, I mean, it's like, it's you're tragic. In survival mode, obviously, because you're like, this tragedy just happened, but I have to look out for my kid too. I mean, you can't just like, you know, not do anything, but.
But, you know, so in 1985, Matt Clark was, Christian Spader's father in a movie called Tough Turf. I don't know if you ever heard of Tough Turf.
Not until you told me about it.
Well, it's a James Spader movie where he plays like the new kid who comes to school and the rough kids of the school don't like him because he stole their girlfriend. What?
The Barkers of the school.
Yeah, the Barkers. Don't like him. And in the cast of Tough Turf, we have Olivia Barish, who played Sylvia. Mm. We have Kim Richards, who's only in one episode of Little House on the Prairie. And we have another person who is only in one episode of Little House on the Prairie named Herb Mitchell, who is just kind of in the background. But he counts because it's on his IMDb.
What episode was he in?
He was, his character was Workman in the episode Chicago.
Okay.
I'm counting it.
Okay. Yeah, I just saw that episode recently, so.
Chicago. But it's a really interesting movie, and it's funny because Olivia Barish plays like one of the like rough girls. It's a good movie. It's a good movie if you're really not looking for a real complicated movie.
Yeah.
But anyway, but it's kind of amazing. You know, four people who are from Little House on the Prairie, you have to wonder, like, did they even know?
Yeah, it's like a cast reunion.
Sort of. Yeah, I mean, it's...
But they're not in like the same episodes, but...
Yeah. I thought it was interesting. But, so let's see. Where are we?
They're all walking around set like, doo-doo, doo-doo. Because like, Michael Landon was just doing that on set constantly. Doo-doo, doo-doo.
Dun-dun-dun. They're getting low on medicine. Everybody's getting a little concerned about that.
Be back in a minute to look at your boy.
Doc? We're getting kind of full. Do you think there'll be many more?
I don't know, Hester Sue. The incubation period for anthrax runs from 12 hours to as many as 12 days.
In this scene, there's a guy in the background, and he's there the whole time. Like, throughout this entire episode, he's just in the background sitting with somebody. Like, he's not sick.
Yeah, huh.
Yeah, it's definitely the same guy.
So then... any of us could still come down with it.
That's very good, Hester Sue.
I just hope we have enough medicine to see us through.
If it was my son there, he'd go, well, I'm starting not to feel so great right now because this is getting hard.
Yeah.
Maybe I should go just take a nap.
Yeah.
You're good.
But what about the patented medicine the Olsen keep on stock in the mercantile? Will any of it do?
Quinine and the tonics. I already asked Nels to bring over everything he's got.
Quinine is also a character on Dr. Quinncast. Well, on Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman. And, Quinine becomes a really big part of the entire show. Which we learned is just kind of a salt-based fever reducer.
Mm-hmm.
Still used. Yeah. Still used. So Charles and Jonathan... They arrive and they try to, you know, kind of figure out what's going on. Let's see. Pa embraces Caroline and kind of gets a feel for what's going on. And Jonathan also comes and he sees that Alice is not feeling well. And
yeah, Alice is not doing well at all.
Yeah. Don't touch her. It could be catchy. That's what I would think. I mean, I wonder, you were saying that it's not very transmissible between
humans. Well, I mean, that's what Doc Baker says. Like, I'm not speaking on any authority other than what Doc Baker says, because I don't really know anything.
We don't give medical advice.
But, like, he says that it's not easily transmissible between people, but then when Charles and Jonathan are like, we need to go kill the sheep, he's like, don't touch them with your bare hands. Like, you could get crazy, it just handling right? them. But I'm like, why can they get it from, like, touching the sheep?
Yeah,
but
that
then,
is...
like, they can't get it from touching the people who have it.
And they're all sweaty, too. You would just imagine they would. It's crazy.
Oh, Carrie, Grace.
They're all right so far. They're staying in Hester Sue's room. But Adam's got it, too. Albert's been asking for you.
Here.
Your hair?
Your hair. Yeah, it looks good, doesn't it, Albert? Actually, if you listen really closely, Albert goes, there's a little packet on the table.
Your hair. It's big enough to store my morphine. So the music there, I feel like I keep like harping on.
It's all synthesizer, music. You know.
But it's really, so we have that like bass line, but then we had a little bit of like the Little House classic, yeah. Little House music like thrown on top. Yeah, with the whole bass thing going on. It's really interesting.
Dump, dump. Dump, dump.
Hey, fiance. All right.
You're gonna live.
It would have been awesome if he says it in this episode and then like in Home Again it's just like calling back to that.
And Albert just kind of turns to the camera and goes, this again?
How unoriginal.
It's like, pff, whatever.
Don't you worry, you and Laura are gonna be all right.
But as you pointed out, everybody wants Pa, you know. He's the one that gives them the security and the feeling of that everything's going to be just
fine. Yeah, when Pa's there, it's going to work out.
Nels thankfully shows up with some medicine, but clearly he's got it. Don't go too close, kids. He's thraxing it. So, yeah, Doc Baker is now he's 100% sure that it's anthrax, and they're starting to come to the conclusion that it's the mutton.
Oh, Nils!
There's a podcast I listen to called, I've mentioned this to you, called No Agenda, and they have tons of supporters, and they have a level where they're always talking about giving the supporters mutton and mead. And mead is an alcoholic beverage made with honey, I believe.
Yeah, I've had mead before.
Yeah, and really? It's not a very common drink. Maybe.
Yeah,
maybe
I had it when I was in England.
Oh,
and
that makes
also,
sense.
Also, they're actually very sparingly around. I've seen, like, meaderies.
Meaderies.
I think it's a good thing. Yeah, they're actually like in South Carolina. There are a couple of meaderies. It's not very common, but yeah.
What's very expensive? It's relatively expensive to make, and it's not easy to make. But nonetheless, So it just when I hear mutton, all I can think about is the No Agenda thing with mutton and mead, which I think is like an old fashioned type of thing.
They drink sherry in this episode, but maybe they need some mead.
Yeah, you know what? A little mead.
You're sure it's anthrax?
No question.
No, I just guessed.
Probably. He's just like, I don't know.
Would you like to take a look at the microscope, Charles?
Dr. Ingalls?
All these blood samples show the same filamentous bacteria.
Filamentous. Yikes.
How'd they get it, Doc?
I'm waiting for Jonathan to be like, Philowattis?
Filamentous? Doc, are you sure you can talk that way? Do you have an oath?
You read my mind. I was just going to say, did you take an oath?
Whenever my voice goes high, it's the Horus coming.
Yeah, I took an oath.
Oath?
Well, from what I've been able to determine, the one thing the sick have in common is the mutton. Garth and Virgil Fenton sold them.
They had to know it was diseased meat.
Why didn't everybody that ate the mutton get infected?
None of these medical books can explain why some people contract the disease and others don't. But one thing is certain. The rest of the Fenton sheep have to be destroyed and buried right away to prevent this thing from going any further.
Any further? His hair looks pretty good. You know, Doc's hair is just kind of long and mangly and crazy.
Yeah. He has, like, some episodes. He has a couple of episodes where his hair is kind of weird, but for the most part, it's pretty good. Mm-hmm. I think, is it around the third season? His hair is kind of, like, shorter, and it's like, what?
Yeah, it's weird when it's short.
It is, because it's like, this isn't the Doc Baker that we know.
It's like, all right, you know what? Take a little time off. Let it grow.
That's why he wasn't in a few episodes.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, all right, we can't have this guy around. It's ruining everything. So it's weird. Like, we watched two different versions of this. And the original version I sent you is a DVD rip. And the one that we're actually using right now is a Blu-ray rip.
Mm-hmm.
And they're 3 minutes different, which I just think is crazy. And there's a couple missing scenes.
Well, yeah, before when you pointed out what was missing, I'm like, I do remember that scene. I've seen it before.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen it before. But I was actually speculating that it was just Pa running around shirtless for 3 minutes.
But they kept in scenes that were very long that just didn't make a lot of sense. Like when Jonathan and Charles go and get the medicine and they're at the train station, they're just kind of moseying around for no reason.
Yeah, there are a lot of scenes in this episode that are like just totally visual.
Mm-hmm.
You really don't have any dialogue. You just get like some scenery. And you just kind of see like a lot of walking, walking or like driving the wagon.
Like, I'm going to play this. It's going to be just mostly sound effects, but they get to the bad guys, as you name them, and who sold the mutton to them. And it appears they're sick now, too. I think the wind is just like Charles going like...
I think that for these guys, you know that like Muffin Man song? It could be the Mutton Man song.
The Muffin.
Have you seen the Mutton Man?
Not my gumdrop button.
I don't know where they were going, but they didn't get very far.
This one's still breathing.
So is this one, but barely.
All right, let's get those sheep buried. We'll get them to Doc Baker.
Now, this is one thing that was also different. Very minor, though. We hear one shot on the other release, but this one we get two rifle shots. So stupid. Like, what did
they
say?
Why would they cut out the one? That's so weird.
I don't know, but we're going to play it.
Like, because... they're like, you know what? I think one shot gets the message across.
It's a little too much. It's a little too much. And that was just looping it. I mean, that was the same as the next shot is a beautiful shot of the blind school, where that should be a Halloween theme right there.
Yeah.
It looks so
it's
good.
It's really good looking. That is such a nice house.
Oh my God. Yeah. I mean,
I know, what was the episode? The Darkness Is My Friend, I think, when like Mary and Laura were stuck there with those.
The home invaders.
And the staircase was really wobbly in that episode.
Yes. Like, I didn't notice it. You pointed it out to me 100 times, and then when I reviewed it, I didn't bring it up.
Yeah, so anybody who's listening, when you watch that episode, watch when, I don't remember like what the names of the criminals were, but when the guy's like walking down the staircase in the blind school with his gun, he like bumps the, what do you call that, the rail or whatever, the railing.
Mm-hmm.
And it totally is wobbling. Like, it's so loose. It's like wah, super wah, shoddy. Wah, wah, wah. Yeah, and so I noticed that, and I'm like, I couldn't believe it. I had to, like, back up and, like, take a video of it, because I'm like, no way. And so now, like, at the blind school, I'm, like, always looking at their railing.
Because I'm like, everything.
Thing was so, like, because I'm like, the thing was, like, so weak before. But in other episodes, it seems a lot more solid. So I don't know what the deal was. Like, if it just, like, needed repairs, or if they just, like, I guess that was maybe in the earlier days of the blind school.
Well, doesn't,
so maybe they
let me
put
ask
more
you,
effort into it.
In that episode, doesn't somebody fall over the railing?
Trying to remember.
I'm pretty sure somebody falls to their death. And it was so
they maybe
probably
loosened
made,
it so that like we could do that.
Yeah.
Or so we could do that. No, so we could do that. But, like, so they could do that. let's launch over a mark.
So everybody who's sick has put on like white foundation.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody is just pale.
I think they're using like clown makeup, you know, like the white.
It's like Gene Simmons before he puts all the other makeup on, like the base coat.
Yeah.
Like everybody looks like a mime.
Yeah.
I hate mimes. So this is this is also Tough Turf Guy, and he's talking, he's with his son, and his son is just not doing well at all. No one is really doing well. And he kind of freaks out at the Mutton Cellars.
Which I wanted to do right away in the episode, personally.
Yeah.
Keep applying the alcohol, Mr. Berwick. We gotta get your son's temperature down.
I can't lose him, Doc. He's all I got.
We're gonna die, Doc.
You are. Just stabs him in the chest.
Just this.
And he couldn't do that. He took an oath. So yeah, he's going to give medicine, and the guy whose son is dying just sees it. This guy has so many expressions to his face. He's
very expressive. He's really intense, and yeah. He's just very interesting to watch.
Yeah, it really is.
No, sir, forget that.
What?
No, you ain't giving him any medicine.
No, sir, forget that.
No, sir, he's so nice. No, sir.
Like, he's so intense, but he's also, like, polite.
Who these two are?
It's so weird.
Not medicine, not the medicine that my boy and these others need here.
Mr. Berwick.
No.
Listen, they are sick, too, and they need medicine just like the rest of the folk.
What's the matter with you? I know who they are. They're the ones that killed my wife. Maybe my boy and these other people. They don't deserve to live.
Why don't you let that be the Lord's decision, Mr. Berwick? Not yours.
Mr. Berwick.
What? He did give a little what? What are you talking about? So they're just running out of everything they need. So Doc Baker sends Charles and Jonathan on a mission to get the medicine supplies.
The mortal mission.
Carbolic acid. It's what's needed.
The mortal mission. And also... Oh,
the mortal mission, yeah.
We need some wine.
Yeah, and I think that's in this particular clip, so I'm going to play
it
that.
It is.
I think it's worth listening to. I think it's just really entertaining to hear it, because you need something a little bit entertaining, because this is a very down episode.
Yeah. I also, to preface this, people listening, when Doc Baker is talking about wine, pretend that he's in Napa Valley at a wine tasting.
Yes.
And the people are asking him, you know, what he thinks of the wine, and he's trying to sound like he knows what he's talking right. about.
This Pinot Noir is a rare one this year. It's a very
strong
rare
wine.
Grape. We didn't have a lot of rain in the Napa region. And the tannins are very low. Very low.
All right. I need your help.
Just name it.
To fight the infection, each one of these patients needs 15 grains of carbolic acid and 30 grains of quinine daily. Now we're running dangerously close on both. Just as important, maybe even more so. They need something to sustain them.
You have all the people in the background, like, coughing.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Shut up!
Now, none of them are eating very much at all. They need something to strengthen them. Like iron, cinchona, wine.
Like Sleepy wine. Eye Red?
Sleepy Eye Red. And, you know, it's just funny because out of nowhere, you just see Isaiah pop in. It's like, somebody say wine? You seem like rubbing his face.
Oh, yeah, I think I might find a case in my wagon here.
I might have a couple bottles over stashed away.
Strong wine, easy to digest.
What do you want us to do?
Strong wine, easy to digest. I never thought of wine as being easy to digest, but I guess any fluid is. You're not getting very many nutrients from wine.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess if... I roll my eyes at it, but it's like, I guess, antioxidants from the grapes or, but you're not really, I mean, the alcohol is killing anything that's in there that would be useful as a nutrient.
I mean, makes them feel good. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe if they feel like crap anyway, have a little bit of wine and they're like,
well, it helps, it thins the blood a little bit, maybe. And,
yeah. I see, you know, you're spinning in circles.
Yeah, I mean, that's what...
Like Toodles and Harriet.
Yeah, Toodles and Harriet spinning their
they
way...
They have a circle spinning competition.
Spinning their way to treat. And we do learn that Willie does have a taste for the wine.
For sherry. Which is cute. Yeah. Which is a fortified wine.
Fortified.
I want to be technical.
I don't like sherry. I've never had a sherry that I like. But I don't know if I understand sherry either.
I've had it twice. Or like by like, I mean, more than like two times. But I guess we've like purchased a bottle of it twice.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much the only reason was because of Frasier, because they like drink it on Frasier. So I'm like, I want to try sherry because they drink it on Frasier all the time.
But they drink
so
it out of it. Cordial glasses. Cordial?
Cordial?
Yeah, cordial glasses, right?
Yeah. So we bought it once because it was, you know, when they like a Total Wine, or I don't know if you have Total Wines up there.
No.
But the like liquor store or whatever, when they have like the little like cart with the clearance stuff in it.
Mm-hmm.
They had like a bottle of sherry. So we're like, hey, they drink that on Frasier. Let's buy some.
Yeah.
And then another time I got it. It was for like a Frasier themed birthday gift. It's just like it's a fortified wine. They're like with anything, there are varying levels of like quality and goodness. And some of the like kind of cheaper stuff is more like people use it for cooking more than like drinking.
Right. I bought sherry and I ended up using it for cooking because I really dislike the texture, actually.
There's like this kind of like a dessert wine. Like the one that we had actually tasted a lot like this like dessert wine.
Mm-hmm.
Like a bottle of dessert wine that we had, you know, purchased this one time at a winery. It's kind of like in the same family.
You know, I don't like sweet anything actually, but that even my co-hosts, I don't like them when they're sweet. That's why I think that we work well together. And you're bitter.
You need someone bitter with sharp edges.
Yes, sure do.
I sure did.
I keep thinking he's saying sure do. And I just wish he said sure do.
Sure did. It would be easier to use if it were sure do.
But that's the challenge, right? That's the game.
Sure did.
But no, I don't like any like wines and everything. I really dislike sweet wines because for the most part, it's artificially sweetened.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't use real sugar very often unless it's a really expensive wine. They can't put sugar back into it because it'll start fermenting again. And then you get carbonation practically.
Right.
So they need to do something called backsweeting it. And that's basically you're adding in this artificial sweetener. And I don't know. There's something about it I just don't like.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not like really into sweet wines either. But mm-hmm. So like in the context of like a dessert wine, like when you're having just like a little, you get like the little fancy cordial glass and it's like not very much.
Right. It's a little aperitif.
After like a, you know, heavy meal or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's palatable, I guess. But generally, like I don't really like sweet wines or really sweet anything. I'm not really like a big
person. That's why we work well together because
we don't like fried foods. We don't like bitter. Sugary foods.
I like fried foods. I'm not going to lie. I don't like fried foods. But I just don't like making it or the way it makes my skin feel.
Well, it makes your skin feel a lot like Adam's skin. Aww. He has anthrax.
Poor Adam.
The thrax.
Dun 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 thrax. All right, so we do get this scene with Adam in bed. So I'm gonna play some of it. I think it's worth kind of playing. Sort of. It is a visual thing, but let's see.
We get the music at least.
And the drums that are used for this mostly, they're called timpaning. I forgot the exact name, but they're these really big drums. Timpano, mm-hmm. I think might be. And you see them in like orchestras and everything. And it's like, they're always like super dramatic. And when you play them, you have the large, like the drumsticks have like the large, like foam pieces at the end. So it's like, if you go on YouTube and look, the people are always making these like crazy melodramatic things with it. Timpani, that's it.
Mary, how is Adam?
No change.
And the others?
Same.
I brought some beef broth if we can just get them to take it.
Adam? Hester Sue brought some broth for you.
I don't want any.
Oh, boy.
Adam, you have to eat something.
Come on. It's nice and hot. Open
it. I can't.
You need all your strength to fight the infection.
It's broth from the mutton.
Oh, man.
Can you imagine?
They didn't get the memo upstairs about that.
Oh, my God.
I wouldn't be able to keep it down anyway.
Oh, gross visual. But this is where Mary doesn't seem to be very blind to me. Her acting just seems a little bit paused when it comes to convincing us. So here's a kind of a sad moment where Hester Sue goes and she's like, fine, if you don't want my beef broth, I'll leave. And one of the kids calls Mary.
Yes, Thomas, what is it?
Can't breathe.
Mr. Sugan, Dr. Baker.
This is a really intense moment and everything, but Mary's hair is terrible. It is just awful.
I have experienced some wrath on the Facebook group for casually pointing out the state of her hair. I know some people don't really enjoy, commenting
truth
on things like that about these characters. But the thing is, here's a comment that people will make a lot with stuff like that. Don't you remember the 80s? Don't you remember perms? I'm like, that is not a perm. That is severely, did her hair catch on fire at one point? I mean, it's just like very, very damaged hair. Like, I don't know what she did to it. And it's really surprising because before this, her hair
beautiful.
Was like really nice.
Yeah.
It was really nice. And I don't know what she did to it, but I'm like, what?
Yeah. I mean, it's one of the number one reasons why I would love to get Melissa Sue Anderson on the show is to ask her, did they really make your hair do that on purpose? I would ask.
It kind of like coincides with when she went blind.
Right. I mean, before she went blind, her hair looked nice. I wonder, like, you know, that's one of the things I think we've discussed. It's been discussed other places. Maybe it's to give her the look of, to simplify her look. I don't know.
I find it
distracting.
But like, I think I've mentioned this before, though, that if they're going for the whole, like, you know, like angle of her being blind, and maybe, like, you know, not being as aware of, like, her appearance or whatever. But, I mean, she can, like, cultivate a garden, you know? So I'm like, you expect me to believe that she can, like, keep a garden, but she can't, like, brush her hair?
Yes.
I'm not sure I buy it.
Yeah, me either. I'm just not really sure what was going on. And if you see Melissa Sue Anderson in other shots around this period of time, like out at events and stuff, her hair doesn't look like this.
So it's like they did it on purpose for the show.
They must have, right? It's kind of like with Jennifer Young's on Dr. Quinn.
Where they lice and stuff.
Yeah, they had to grease it up. All right. So yeah, Ingrid. So we're going to get Doc Baker. This kid just can't breathe. Jeez.
Thomas? Thomas? Dr. Baker?
I'm right here, Mary.
And, you know, he puts his ear to his chest and, you know, he's dead. He's gone. It's really killed the little kid.
Yeah, it's sad. It's really sad.
Now, meanwhile, on their gallivanting, you have Jonathan and Charles drinking some of that sherry and going on their way to Springfield. And they finally get there, and this is a pretty long scene, but
Simon here for Dr. Baker, Walnut Grove.
Oh,
supposed to be on today's train from the hospital in Rochester.
Today's train hasn't come in yet.
Supposed to be in here over an hour ago.
Should have been, but it ain't.
What's
And also in this scene, I do want to just mention that I didn't know what it said on that thing. And I did a Google search and it brought me to a lot of very questionable websites.
Yeah, you mentioned that in the notes and I was like, oh no.
Yeah, I was like, what? Like, it was just weird. Like, all right.
Hold it up. I don't know.
What time do you expect?
I don't know that either. Telegraph wire's down. There's a blizzard coming through Rochester.
Operator is at Oath Camp.
He's away at Oath Camp. there's a lot of moments where they just look at each other and very caught and like concerning.
And we have the snow scattered around the ground again. Very big snow budget.
Yeah, it's even blowing around somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Now we get Harriet in one of the few times where Harriet is just kind of selfless.
Yeah, we have some really nice Harriet moments in this episode.
Yeah.
She's very, like, she's never, like, the usual kind of mean person that we always get.
Mm-hmm.
She's very sweet and cares about her family. We have some nice, like, human moments.
Oh, here's... That music really does go on the whole time.
It does, yeah, that's what I was saying. Like, the whole time we have this bass line.
Nails. 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 Oh.
What?
Oh. Oh, good Lord. I thought... I do love you, Nels Olsen.
I know that.
Do you? And even though... Well, honestly, I just don't know how you put up with me sometimes.
I don't put up with you, Harriet. I love you.
Aww.
You still hear all the coughing in the background?
Yeah.
It's crazy. Yeah. It's just kind of a sweet moment with them.
Yeah, I think that it's... we also don't see very often Nels being sweet to Harriet. I mean, he's balanced and, you know, he's usually very level-headed.
But he often... He is this type that you can tell he's, like, annoyed at her, he's angry with her. But mm-hmm. he also... is the kind that he'll, like, mutter something under his breath and then, like, walk the other way. And, like, how often do we see that happen where he'll, like, mutter something and she'll be like, what'd you say?
Yeah.
And then he, like, changes it to something else. Then he kind of, like, walks the other way.
I don't know what episode it was, but there's one I saw recently where he looks dead into the camera when that happens. And I've never seen it before. Normally, like, it's... Do you recall him ever looking right into the camera?
And like, I don't. So if you remember which episode this is,
I took a screenshot really of it and I'll find it. But
yeah,
it was one of these kind of weird moments where I was like, oh, it's almost like in The Office where Jim looks at the camera type of moment.
Oh yeah. That's yeah.
Yeah. I was very surprised to see it. And then I was wondering, does he always do that? But I don't think he does. And you know how it is. You watch this show, and the more you watch it, the more you find.
Yeah, right. It's like, I never get sick of it, well, because it's like a great show, but also I'm always like picking up on these weird little things that I didn't see, you know, the first 500 times around.
It's like going to an antique store. You know, if you just keep digging long enough, you'll find something new.
Yeah, exactly. If you just keep taking, like, screenshots of little minuscule things in the background.
You just make new jokes.
You sure do.
There you go. And that's, you know, that's almost the beauty of all this. I mean, Little House on the Prairie, a show that is nearly 50 years old, and we're still talking about it like it just came out, like the new episode just came out, like, 3 days ago.
Yeah, it's great. I love it.
And Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman came out 2 decades ago, and it's like, and it ended 2 decades ago.
Sure did.
And it just, you know, I love the fact that we talk about it like it's never been gone.
Yeah, well, that's kind of how it's always been for me, because it's like I've been watching them for as long as I can remember.
And you're like that with Frasier, like, too.
Yeah, it's just like a part of my life, and I watch them, like, you know, pretty much every day. So it's just like, I don't know. I like approaching it like it's like a fresh thing, and I think that there are a lot of ways that you can look at it, because and I think that the longer you spend time with the show, the more you really notice these things, because when you're first watching it, you're just sort of like, okay, what's the plot? Like, what's happening?
I think
when you, like, know the plot, then you're like, okay, so, like, what's going on around the plot? And then you're kind of, like, picking out themes. And then, like, when you watch the show as a whole, you're, like, picking out, like, character traits. And, like, you know, there's just really a lot of stuff that goes into it.
I think a lot of Little House fans can really agree with me when they watch an episode. It's almost like they're watching it like they've never seen it before. They don't want to think about it too much. Because if you really just sit down, you'll understand exactly what's going to happen. Instead of trying to experiencing it for the first time again. And very often I'll watch a Little House show and I'm thinking, how does this end again? And I know if I just took a minute to think about it, I would remember. But it's better to just not. No, I do that
too sometimes. Like, when we're, like, watching it, and I'll be like, wait, what happens in this part? Or And then I have to, like, but then if I say it out loud, then I kind of think about it. And then I'm like, oh, yeah, I know what happened. You know, like, you're kind of like, wait, I don't remember this. And then you're like, wait, no, I do.
Or, you know, like,
you see it and you're like, oh, yeah, that guy does this. And, you know.
Or, like, in the episode that we were just talking about, Gambini the Great, you were saying, like, why is it that Nancy is being the MC? And there's this whole scene that explains it. But, you know.
Yeah, which I didn't remember. Yeah. So, like, when I asked you that and you said that, I'm like, wait, did that scene really happen? Because, like, yeah. I don't remember that.
It's a weird little scene.
I just remember watching it and being like, why is Nancy the MC?
It's funny because when you asked me, and I was thinking, like, there's a scene. And then I dug it up and I'm like, yeah, there's a scene. Like, I didn't imagine it. So, yeah.
It's like a deleted scene.
A forgotten scene. Maybe when you saw it on television, it's possible they dropped that scene.
I wonder. Yeah, because that's an episode that I've seen that one less than I've seen the other ones. I've seen them all, like, a lot, but
my God, there's one thing with Albert, it's ridiculous. You know, when he comes out of the water, he's like just sitting there splashing and he's like, I'm great. I'm great.
That is so ridiculous.
I'm great.
That scene drives me crazy. There are so many things with that episode. It's such a weird episode. But, like, Albert, like, that whole I'm great thing is, like, really bizarre. Yeah. Also, as you all, like, pointed out, which I thought this before, he is, like, always going after some lady. So it's like, this is a little bit after the whole Sylvia thing.
Yeah, Amy.
Blondie. Yeah, but see, that's the thing, though. In this show, they move on really quickly because right after, is it like one or two episodes after the blind school burns down? Mm-hmm. So Andy just lost his mother and he's, like, fighting with Albert over a girl.
Yeah. I remember that.
Dang. You know, like, they just, like, really, like, move on quickly.
I forget the name of the episode. It's the tomboy girl, or
No, it's a different one. It's like a girly girl that, like, moves into town. This, like, blonde. Like,
oh yeah, she has, like, a southern accent, right?
Yeah, yeah. And they're, like, fighting over her.
You're immature.
And they're like, we're holding Penelope's hand. Like, this, like, really crazy fuck. But then, like, with Gambini the Great, then, like, when Pa is, like, super pissed because he's like, Albert, you're going to be a doctor.
Yeah.
And I'm like, whoa. I mean, how many, like, people when they're, okay, when you're, like, a kid, you just decide you're going to be something, right? Like, you're like, I'm going to be a doctor. Right. I'm going to be a vet. I'm going to be a, like, you know, whatever. Just like, you're being a little hard on the kid for, like, considering not being a doctor. Granted, his other path he was considering is kind of a crazy one. But
I thought at the very end of that episode was very strange because Doc Baker's not in that episode at all. And at the very end, at the funeral for Rudolfo,
Stefano.
I just reviewed it and I kept calling him Gambini.
Stefano.
Gambino.
No, that's Stefano was the kid. Sorry, I just kept saying Stefano.
It's Marco and Stefano. Like, holy cow, when you listen to that episode, you're going to hear all of my Italian accents. Like the whole episode, I'm doing like bad Italian accents. So, like talking about.
So dead.
You sure did.
And it's like, yeah, like talking about Calzone, you know? And stuff yeah. Like that. Marco Stefano.
Anyway. Yeah, that's funny. There's like a Frasier episode where they're at this Italian restaurant. There's like this whole like face drawing caricature thing, and he's upset with how it turns out, so he wants to be like redone. And like the old lady who's like drawing them, it's like it was like Stefano. It's like the restaurant was like Stefano's, and then that's like his mother. So this like elderly Italian lady is the one who does it. And like when she says his name, she's like Stefano. So like every time I hear the name, I'm just like Stefano.
That's ridiculous, but I really like that actress that's in that that you mentioned. Well, you didn't mention her specifically, but I guess Mrs. Gambini.
Mrs. the Great.
Mrs. the Great. No, but his name is Rodolfo Gambini, and I kept on accidentally saying Gambino.
I think that there's like some interesting stuff though, because they have like the kid who like does not want to do it. Actually, like neither of the kids want to.
No, they want out.
And I think it's just kind of an interesting.
Then you have
like,
Albert.
I think it's a very relatable like exploration of a lot of people. Like their families kind of pressure them.
Yeah.
Well, even like Pa's doing the same thing.
Totally.
Like, Albert, you have to be a doctor.
Look,
what are you going to be, a poor dirt farmer?
Look,
you have to be a doctor.
If you're a doctor, you'll prescribe medicine, like morphine. I can get morphine?
Don't you remember when we had anthrax in town?
Yeah, think of how helpful that morphine would have been. Yeah. All right. So they get the medicine. If you look closely, there's a big case of sherry right behind the medical supplies.
Yeah, they're stocking up on the sherry.
Gotta need a little nip. And
Nels needs a nip.
Yeah, I mean they do. I don't know why. It's kind of like in Miracle on 49th Street, like where the Santa is drunk and he's just trying to say like it's all he just drinks to keep himself warm. Maybe that's it. Whoa, that's really loud. I'm sorry.
Welcome sight, you gents is run out of horse meat. Been hunting for food. Ain't had no morsel 4 or 5 days. Expect hell to freeze over like this.
So this guy looks really familiar because we know him from Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman. I didn't recognize him at first.
Yes. I didn't recognize him immediately. So as a like relatively, you know, newer watcher of Dr. Quinn, I'm not surprised because I'd been watching both of these shows for a long time, right? And then I was just like, that guy looks familiar. I'm like, I know he's in Dr. Quinn somewhere. And I'm like thinking about it. And then I'm like, oh, duh. Yeah, so he plays Doc Cassidy, who's kind of like her rival doctor from Denver, who like hates that she's a lady doctor. You know, like a woman has to be at the home. He's all like very
Wait, a lady doctor? No.
Yeah. That's not possible. Women can't go to medical school.
Keep in mind, this is 16 years before Dr. Quinn. So, you know, that's another thing. He's so much younger here.
Yeah, right. So he is younger and stuff. But I'm just like, that has to be him. And then I verified it on IMDb. And I'm like, it is indeed the same man. And he also is quite the unpleasant character on that show, too. So
I don't mind him. Honestly, on Dr. Quinn, I don't mind him so much. I also think he cleans up really well.
No, in a way... I like his character, but, like, I don't. Like, he's kind of unpleasant, but he's kind of, like...
Realistic.
He has good moments, though. Even, like, in that episode with the malpractice one, he kind of, at the end, like...
He did the right thing. You know, like, when the evidence was presented, he was like, look, this is just it. I don't want to have to side with her, but...
Yeah, right. So, like, he ultimately does, like, the right thing. Like, he has integrity. He just doesn't agree with... Well, and he even brings up some good... This is, like, totally a digression, but...
Yeah.
When she's having, like, the issues with her pregnancy, and he's like, you need to, like, stop working so much. And she's, like, all bullheaded about it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, like, granted, he doesn't think women should be doctors, so he's, like, biased. But he's, like, you need to put the baby first.
Yeah.
You know, and like, she was just really, like, stubborn. And it's, like, he actually has a point. Like, you need to slow your roll.
His oath kicked in.
His oath. He took an oath.
He took an oath. So this
it's
is
like the oath switch. The oath switch was flipped.
But his character in this basically helps the entire story go downhill very quickly. Well, not the story so much as the
The mission.
The progress, yeah. The mission.
We got some food here. You're welcome to it.
This is where the mission almost becomes mortal.
Yeah.
Go to the next town if you like.
I like it. Get down off that wagon.
Can't really hear anything that's going on, but he basically points his gun at them. Charles lurches at him, and this guy knocks him out and then points it at Jonathan. I don't know. I'd be pretty scared of Jonathan, even if, you know, Jonathan should have just lurched at him again.
I mean, he's like a grizzly bear.
Yeah, exactly. He can take a shot. He'll be fine.
Come out with a paw, like, brr.
Exactly. Like, I think he would be fine.
I just get him a bottle of Sleepy Eye Red and he'll go for it.
Clock him over there with the Sleepy Eye Red. Doc looks like he's about to like fall asleep for like a little bit of a nap, and then somebody comes barging into his office. Well, his little makeshift office.
Doc, it's my boy. He's got a funny color. It's blue like.
Did you ever see the movie Sling Blade?
Mm-mm.
Oh my, have you seen anything?
I'm kidding. No. I watch the same three shows over and over.
It's true. Anyway, so my joke is based on Sling Blade, where it's like, it's not funny, haha. And in the joke, you'd have to see this scene, whatever. Forget it.
Nah.
For those people who know Sling Blade, they're laughing their butts off. And this kid, I mean, he looks like a kabuki dancer.
Yeah.
So pale. It's like ridiculous.
Oh, man, I feel so bad for this guy.
Yeah, I mean, he just lost his wife hours ago.
And his kid. And yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah.
He's all right, isn't he, Doc? He's going to be all right.
Oh, yeah, I mean, it's just tragic. And he just explodes.
I mean, I have to say, I think it's pretty crazy. He's the only guy who's like pissed at these mutton guys that we ever see. And I almost can't believe that more people aren't like,
yeah, like, let's lynch him. Like, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I feel really mad about the mutton guys.
Yeah.
Like, I've been like mad at them from the beginning.
You tricked me with your cheap meat. And in the best scene that I've ever seen on Little House on the Prairie, he's choking a dead man.
Yeah.
Are we dead? Stop it! He's already dead!
And if you look in the background, that guy gets up and see what's going on. I think he's just a guy walking around. I don't actually know if he has anybody back
he
there.
He doesn't even live in Wanagrove.
Yeah, he's just kind of just going by. I'm waiting out the storm.
Yeah, I know, like it was cold, so he's like, I need some place to warm up.
No, you should have just let him keep choking him. You know, it's not like he's going to get more dead.
You know, right? Like, yeah, so it's like when you're like, stop, he's already dead. So it's like, if he weren't already dead, would you let him keep going?
And this guy's...
Until he died?
The screenshot I took of this guy, his eyes are bugging out. He's like, yeah. Oh
he's
my God.
Crazy, and his hair is all like, phew.
Yeah, like, he looks like a little bit like Jack White. Well, hair-wise, not the face.
Yeah. But, like, with the hair a little messed up, yeah.
Yeah.
He's actually changing the bass line, and he's like, have you tried this one?
All of a sudden, it's just like the whole show changes. Everything has a red tinge. All right, so they're all out of quiet. I was gonna say Pa's in rough shape because they kind of beat him up.
yeah, he like kind of kicked his ass, but they're still like, oh, we gotta go back to the because he stole like all their stuff,
yeah.
So they have to go back and get it.
Yeah,
they have to track him down where his house is.
Yeah, these guys are just—they have a black cloud over them. So here they discuss about the quinine. There's really not that many patients in here, right? What is there? 8?
I mean, they make it seem like it's a lot because they're all like, oh, we ran out of beds. But it's like, I suppose that...
This is a huge house. You can house more than this.
most of the beds are taken up. I mean, well, okay, how many beds does the blind school have? They have them for, like, the people that live there, right?
I would bet this is a 5-bedroom house.
I mean, well, yeah. And then, like, in each room, I don't know how many students there are exactly, but it's, like, there's probably, like, what, like, 4 in a room or something?
You think
that
many?
Sometimes when, like, they go in the room. 2 to 4 in a room, I'd say, probably.
I kind of forgot about the students.
Yeah, well, even though one of them just died. How short your memory is.
Well, that's one extra bed.
Yeah. You'll be kid. Like, I'll bring down this bed. Yeah, like Doc Baker like hauls it down. Like, who wants the bed?
Who wants the bed? And just Albert raises his hand. I'll have the morphine. No, a bed. Not morphine.
And Willie's like, Sherry. No, Sherry. A bed.
Forget it.
I have one bottle of carbonic acid left.
Charles and Jonathan should be here anytime.
They're already a day overdue.
Do you think maybe they got caught in a storm?
You think? She's like Captain Obvious in this episode.
This is very good, Hester Sue.
I don't know. There's a blizzard going on. It could be.
Blizzard?
Yeah, she is reading this. She's like, this is the biggest house in town. I'll get some beds in the room. Do you think they're in the storm?
It's freezing in here. Do you think I should close the window?
Blizzards don't stop Charles and Jonathan.
That was the glass hitting the glass, not a fart. So, all right. So we go back to the barn. They kind of track down where it is. And the guy kind of catches them and brings them into the house. You know, they're kind of like hostage now. Not really hostage, but they're being... What would you even say that they are? Kidnapped or... I guess hostages.
So they go there to get their stuff back. And they like were in the barn and they found the horses and everything. And then they're like kind of peeking through the window and they see like his wife in there. And then the guy comes, and Charles was like, what are you doing this weekend? And he's like, inside, get inside.
If you look inside.
No, that's not really it. That's pretty much like my weekend plans. Like, what are you doing? Inside.
But that's what he says. He's like, get inside.
Yeah, get inside. And like at gunpoint, of course, because that's like his M.O.
And Charles is like, I don't have time for this. So if you look inside, though, they do have a bottle of the sherry out.
Yeah.
They're getting ready to get a little saucy.
Get on in there.
Yeah, I think that guy takes a nip or two now and then.
Actually, they have 2 bottles out, at least.
Over there, squatting in chairs.
Who are they?
They're the guys who donated this stuff I brought back.
What are you going to do?
First thing, you're going to tie them up, and I'll think on it.
You can't keep them tied up forever.
I don't intend to.
Well, you can't kill him, Hank.
I'll do what I have to, Bess.
Ma.
I told you to tie him up.
Hank, the boy's bad sick, and I'm scared he's going to...
He can wait. Now, do like I said.
Well, so we're seeing that they also had a little bit of the cheap meat, I guess. And the kid is not feeling very well. So you just...
Well, they don't have the cheap meat. They ate a horse, remember?
Oh, right. They ate the horse, yeah.
Yeah.
I just would not be comfortable eating a horse. Not a horse.
Me neither. I suppose, though, if they're really poor and they're starving, and they didn't even kill the horse. He was like, the horse just dropped dead. You know, so like they're like, I mean, I suppose in that situation where like you're starving and the animal died anyway. I guess.
Yeah. What could go wrong?
Okay. Tie him up. Good and secure, like.
I'll be up in a minute, Ethan.
Hey. Bring me a Hot Pocket. That kid is spoiled. basically in this, like, sticky situation, right? I mean, this is the last type of thing that they really needed to have happen. Like, it's kind of just ridiculous. Like, this would never happen to anyone else. Like, they just know that their last name of Charles is Ingalls, and he deserves all this to happen.
Yeah, like, he was in the area, and the guy's cell phone has, like, the Ingalls alert app, and it was, like, going off, and he's like, go get this guy.
You, over here. So here, we're back in the blind school.
Ma? Pa?
Now, this is where it seems like Laura is blind, right?
More so than Mary.
Definitely more so. But the way she's talking, like, she can't see anybody, she doesn't know where anybody is, and she's confused. I would imagine...
Yeah, it's weird. It's like she's totally delirious.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then, like, I had pointed out, I think that we don't ever really hear Ma say half pint other than here.
Maybe once or twice or something, but it's a rarity.
She definitely goes with cup.
Where are you?
Here, Laura.
Where is everybody? Where'd everybody go?
That's another thing. What do they say for half pint in, like, France? I mean, it's their metrics. So.
Good question.
But then again, you can get a pint in...
It's a demi pint.
I mean, if you go to a bar, you get a pint, right? I don't know.
I'll have to ask Pete.
But, I mean, there's a pint glass. I mean, it's not like you order a milliliter glass. Like, what... I just don't know. Get Pete out of here right now, please.
I should be like, Pete, emergency.
Emergency, little house.
Albert's here. Mama's here.
Where are you, Ma?
Here, darling. Half pint.
Ma? Where is everybody?
Here, honey.
Ma?
Half pint.
Even the music's kind of like all like dissonant and... just kind of dream sequence-y.
Albert, where are you?
I'm here, Laura. I'm over here.
By the way, I was right. It is just demi-pint.
A demi-pint?
Yeah.
Nobody says demi-pint. They just say pint.
Well, no, but half-pint.
Yeah.
For half-pint, because demi is half, so demi-pint.
Why didn't Laura ask for Almanzo?
She hasn't met him yet.
Where is it? Oh, yeah, you're right.
End of season 5. We're like 2 episodes away.
My timeline got screwed up.
So then like two episodes from now, she's cooking cinnamon chicken. Like two episodes ago, I had anthrax.
By the way, I don't recall seeing Nelly at all. This entire episode, right?
I think we see her, like, laying on a bed. Like, I feel like I knew she was there before we saw her.
See her at all. But we do see her at the end.
Everybody go!
This goes on for a little too long. They're just, like, looking at each other and, like, poor girl.
Yeah, and it's weird. And, like, so Ma never really says half pints, but then she keeps asking for Pa. And then she's like, half pints. And it's like, are you trying to be Pa right now? Like, do you really think that's going to, like, trick Laura?
Right.
It's weird.
Like, Laura, shut up. Jeez. Just lock her in one of the rooms. Hester Sue's starting to get really worried about the lack of medicine and wondering where Chuck and his sidekick are. I just love the way you refer to them like that. It's like Chaz and the sidekick.
Yeah.
So here we go. We're back in this other homestead, the kidnapper's homestead. And this kind of goes on for a little while, but as you point out, it's kind of worth it at the end.
Busted, Ma.
You know what the music means.
In my belly. Well,
the timing is hilarious, too, because there's, like, no music. And they're like, Ma! Da, 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 da.
God, I wish this was isolated. I wish we had, like, the score, like, on its own. Just drive around with listening to it.
I told you he was in a bad way.
Yeah. He don't look too good.
Boy may have the same sickness we got in Walnut Grove.
Kid's delirious. He's like, are you Santa? It's like,
you said you've been eating horse meat.
Yeah. So?
All defensive. I'd be defensive too, probably. Why, what's wrong with that? It was a beautiful horse.
Yeah. Just died anyway.
Delicious.
Did that animal for food, or did it come down sick first?
Yeah. Chili horse. Like, I don't know. You haven't lived since, you know, when you had horse chili. I don't know. It just seems... I'm afraid of horses, like, personally. I think I've told you that in the past. But I just wouldn't eat one. There's certain things I just wouldn't eat. I mean, unless, of course, you're in the movie alive and you're starving, and that's what you have to do.
Yeah, it just seems weird to eat one. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. It's weird. Just like I wouldn't want to eat a dog or a cat, you know?
Well, no, I'm kidding.
Here, it's like, wee!
Wee!
Over dead. Then I butchered it. That important or something?
All our people took sick after eating infected meat.
Anthrax. That boy can die if he's not treated proper.
We got the medicines and tonics right here in them boxes.
We'll show you what to give him. You just turn us loose. Let us go on our way.
Like, why wouldn't you do it? I mean, what is your MO here? You're gonna kill them? Seriously?
Right.
So he does. He unties them.
I swear on the Holy Bible, we won't say a thing to anybody.
We won't even go near the law. All we want to do is get them medicines back to our families.
Hank. Hank, I'm feared for the boy.
Oh, they're lying, Bess.
What if they ain't?
I ain't risking losing this chance. Maybe my last. All my
like,
life.
What is this chance? Remind me what his chance is.
I don't get it. Like, his chance to sell
the
stuff?
I mean,
this
guy is, like, delirious. I don't understand.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense to me either. It's kind of like the stuff that he stole?
Like, he's gonna sell it, and then what? I don't get it. I mean, like, you're not gonna get that much money for it, right?
Right, it's a dead of winter. Like, who's gonna buy it?
And they're, like, specific medicines. Like, who? You can sell it too.
Well, once you get the taste for horse meat, maybe you want human meat. Maybe that's it. Ooh. This is his chance to eat them. It's possible.
A loser. Now, if we can just hold out here till spring, I know I'm going to strike a vein.
It's not just the boy. You two can get the anthrax too.
He's going to strike a vein?
Yeah, I don't know what that means either.
Yeah, I don't know.
Wait a second. Is that like a mining term? Because as we learn from his wife, he stuck around after the mine failed. Like, so he's like had something with the mine. Is that like a mining thing?
But isn't a vein like oil? Like you're looking for oil in Minnesota?
No, right. Okay, I get that. But like they talk about a mine. So like there was something with a mine that failed, and then they like stayed there. Is he like delusional and thinking that he's gonna have a mine?
Maybe.
I don't get it. I don't get this guy. He's crazy. He's like totally unhinged.
Yeah, he really is.
You shut up! I ain't listening to no more!
Ma, help me!
Ma, you shut up!
Ma'am, I'm telling you, your boy can die.
Shut up!
I'm gonna help you, Ethan.
Bess.
You set them men free, Hank.
I could see Myra and Hank in the same exact situation. Right?
Yeah.
Hank kidnaps these two people, won't untie them.
Oh, you wouldn't shoot me, Bess.
He'd be smoking, though. Blowing circles. I mean,
and he'd have his little glass of whiskey.
I don't wanna. But I will if I have to save Ethan. I put up all these years with your scheming and dreaming. I stayed on here with you even after the company closed down the mine and everybody else left. But I ain't gonna sit by and let Ethan die. Hank, we had our chance at life. The boy's gotta have his.
Fine.
Le sigh.
I reckon.
Now you cut them loose.
this.
So he cuts them loose, and they are able to deliver the stuff. We get a really intense moment with Doc, though, in front of the blind school after they carry a body out. I don't know who these guys are who are carrying the body, but here we go. You get another little inkling of Harriet being like a really just a gentle person.
Yeah. Who?
It's the other Fenton, Garth. I'm not a doctor anymore. I'm a funeral director.
It's a bumper sticker right there. Jeez. Jesus.
Poor Doc Baker.
But before they know, Doc's just walking around like, I need a nap. And then we hear from the other room any second.
They're back! They're back, Doc! They're back with the medicine!
No, the medicine isn't a sure cure, right?
There are a couple things going on here. I get that they're excited that they have the supplies because they were running out. But, right, it's not a sure cure. So, like, some people could still die. Mm-hmm. I mean, they had people dying anyway when they had supplies of medicine. So people could still die. Plus, like, how much time has passed? Because he said that incubation would be, like, 12 hours to 12 days.
Mm-hmm.
It has not been 12 days.
No. It's been one day.
We've had, like, an overnight, I think, right? So this is probably, like, the second day. Like, this is, like, a weekend.
Yeah, and that's like exactly
we've had, like, a weekend of this.
At best, it's 2 days.
So you could still have for, like, a week and a half at least, people still coming down with it. And they act like it's, like, we're cured, it's over.
Yeah, it was almost like we got through the night with the zombies and we survived. It's a very strange 24-hour virus type thing.
Yeah.
And here we have another loving moment with Harriet. The woman, not the dog.
All right, Nellie, open wide.
And that's where we see Nellie.
Yeah.
What is it that she's giving them, you think? I mean, it's medicine, but was it
odium? Is this some kind of, like, they keep talking about tonic, right?
Yikes. I mean, it's probably, it could be something mixed with a tincture of morphine.
That's why Willie has that smile on his face.
Well, he had sherry too.
Yeah.
Or wine.
Yes.
And then after this episode, like, he's a sherry addict.
Sherry. He gets girl drink drunk.
Yeah.
I hate the taste of that stuff. I'd much rather have some more sherry.
Yeah. Same here, Pa.
It's kind of a nice moment where he looks up at him and they just kind of laugh.
Oh, good grief. Open wide.
You know, Harriet's having a little nip, too.
Oh, totally.
Adam is recovering. He's getting his appetite back. This is a scene where if you watch it, Mary really does not seem blind at all. Maybe she's faking it the whole time.
Oh my gosh, you think?
For the attention. But yeah, they basically come to the conclusion that it's over, which is just crazy to me.
Everybody's looking good down here.
Upstairs, too.
How are you feeling?
Mr. Sue, I'm so tired. But thankful. It's over.
But it's not at all over.
It can't be after, like, an overnight. No way.
No,
he himself stated the incubation period could be up to 12 days.
His own words. Now we get an entire Hester Sue song.
Yeah, she, yeah. She regales everybody.
I'm going to play some of it. I don't know.
We have, like, some real competing concerts because we have, like, Pa with his little melody.
Yeah.
We have the guy who turns into Jack White. We have Pastor Sue.
Boom, boom. Yeah, and it's like...
We have a real battle. We have a real battle of the bands brewing up here.
And you have, like, you know, poetry slams. Like,
she sure did.
And here she just kind of breaks out into song. Any second now.
In the storm of life, all raging, stand by me. When the storm of life are raging, stand by me. When the world is tossing me.
Notice there's no more coughing.
Like a ship.
Well, everybody's cured. Yeah. I just needed one more dose of medicine.
Thou who rule both wind and water, stand by me. When my body is racked with pain, stand by me.
Dun, 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 dun.
That's pretty much what happens.
Yeah, it's...
Everybody's cured. Do, 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 do.
But then that's pretty much how the episode ends. Strange. Strange episode, right? I mean, it's just... Definitely just a weird one. And... But did you know Mrs. Foster's real last name is Foster?
Yeah, I've noticed that in the credits.
Yeah, I just saw that. That's kind of weird. I don't know. I think this is a very good episode, but I feel like the ending was just kind of rushed.
Right, because they just cured instantly. It's very weird.
Yeah, it's almost like the antidote came and now they're fine.
Yeah, they could have handled it differently because it could have been like they bring the medicines and then Doc's like, well, now we can get a handle on this or something like that. It could have been something like, well, now we have the medicine.
Right, so. You throw the voiceover at the end.
Like, yeah, and then have like the voiceover and be like, 12 days had passed and nobody else came down with the Thrax. If I had a remembrance book.
Exactly.
I would write down about how 12 days passed.
And whatever happened to those guys? The, the kidnapper guy. I guess, yeah, they said they weren't going to tell.
Yeah, so they left. They probably left them some medicine for the kid and then went on their way.
Mm. Yeah,
we never hear from him again.
I feel a little bit unfulfilled with this episode. But
and then the one guy died. Like the brother who didn't want to sell the meat, but the other one, as far as we know, is still alive. Is he still in town after this? Because, dang.
Maybe Matt Clark will choke him. Matt Clark, what a terrible existence now. You know, he lost his wife and his son all in a matter of a day or so.
That could be a whole episode, him like freaking out on that guy.
Yeah. I mean, he should kidnap him and take him. That's a whole other thing. But so Kelly, thank you so much for doing this episode as always. You can listen to more of this kind of banter between Kelly and I on Dr. Quincast.
Sure can.
Sure can. One last time.
She sure did.
Sure did.
People listening are like, what?
Right, it's like Leah gets it though. Leah, who really likes Chad Allen.
Yeah, she's good. And we have some, I think, overlap. We have a few people that we've brought over.
Literally a few.
House. Yeah, so a few people.
But I will say, just as, you know, if somebody respects my opinion at all, I really do think that Dr. Quinn does complement the entire genre of 19th century soap opera-y, getting drama and all this kind of stuff. I think it just complements really well. And although it's a little bit less family-based.
Right, yeah. Yeah, but I agree. And I think they're very different, but there are a lot of the same like themes that they explore. It's like, on the one hand, it's hard to compare them because they're so different. But on the other hand, it's like, it's a similar time period and they're looking at some of the same themes. So it's sort of interesting to compare.
Is that Dodgy barking?
Yeah, he's like, I'm really naked. Will they explore themes?
How come you're not bringing up Wolf?
Yeah.
He's getting mad.
I like Wolf better than Bandit. Love Wolf.
Love Bandit. So you can find the podcast at drquincast.com, or you can just go to Dr. Quincast on Facebook. We're easy to find.
Yeah, we have a page, we have a group, everything.
Yeah.
If you enjoy the Walnut Grove cast group and you're interested in exploring Dr. Quinn, I think the vibe we're going for in the group is kind of similar.
Absolutely. We take it so seriously to a point. And
yeah, but we like to have fun and kind of joke around too, and there are memes involved and everything like that. So
we like to ask those kind of questions that make believe that it's kind of a real scenario. And what's not allowed in our discussion is anyone who has to cop out and say, it's just a TV show. Oh my God, such a cop out.
Yeah.
I can't argue then. It's just a serious TV show.
Yeah, serious pet peeve. But anyway, if you're not going to be one of those people, come on over.
Even if you are one of those people, I just want to come over, say it, and I'll yell at you and then kick you out.
Yeah, there you go. That works too.
And then you have a story to tell everyone. Mark's really mean on that other
Dear
show.
Dear Mark.
Dearest Mark. Hate you.
Dearest Mark.
I hate
Dearest
you very
Albert.
Much.
Dearest
Albert. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider supporting Walnut Grovecast by heading over to patreon.com/walnutgrovecast.